decision was expected, so there's no surprise. What perhaps we didn't expect was the extent of the decision in the area of sovereignty and especially around the Nan Dot line. Now, the reactions will be no doubt quite strong from most players in the Philippines and in China first, but also in the international community. In the Philippines and China, because there is a very strong nationalist movement that exists and that has developed around those issues. So the situation now will be very tense for the next probably weeks, maybe a month, and it's quite important to apply restraint, which is actually what the Philippines foreign minister, Mr. Yaya, said yesterday after the decision was released, calling for all parties to apply restraint. So what we are likely to experience in the next few weeks will be a tremendous amount of rhetoric of all kinds, and probably demonstration in the Philippines, outside the Chinese embassy, which I believe has already happened, and also in China, outside the Philippine embassy. So as long as the situation does not get out of control, then things will eventually settle down. And both the Philippines and China are very likely to start a protracted process of bilateral negotiation. What is significant with the timing is that under the current administration of the so former president, Benigno Aquino, there was a very strong will from his administration to confront China. And if the decision would have been released whilst Aquino was president of the Philippines, there is very little doubt that he would have wanted that decision to be enforced by all means, including probably military means. And that would have been a very dangerous situation because of the defense agreement between the Philippines and the United States. So in a way, it is a blessing that we have a different administration under President Rodrigo Duterte, who, with very different, is not interested to enter into confrontation with China. He has made that very clear, and he has a lot to gain by succeeding into negotiation with China, because Duterte was elected on domestic issues, not on international issues. Mm-hmm. And his agenda was to look at poverty, inequality, and criminality. I am not going to discuss here what he does with criminality, because there's so much to be said. But with regard to poverty and inequality, to address those issues, Duterte and his government need investment, they need foreign investment. And that's where China comes along, because China is in a situation which is quite ambiguous at the moment. It lost face in the wake of that decision and need to reestablish some form of credibility, especially ahead of the G20 meeting in September. So there's no doubt that we're going to go through a lot of rhetorics, but both China and the Philippines are very likely to sit down and start a long process of negotiation, and that, no doubt, will be very difficult.
And you did mention that the Philippines and China is most likely to go into a bilateral negotiation. And would you think that it would produce favorable results for the Philippines as well?
Well, there were attempts in the past under previous administration to have bilateral negotiation between the Philippines and China. That always failed. But the situation is different, mostly because President Duterte is a leftist. He has no interest going into war, but also he wants to have a very low-key approach in international affairs, and he has made that very clear. So his focus will be to negotiate a deal that will be satisfactory to the Philippines, in which the Philippines will benefit economically without losing faces in the wake of that decision. It's a very complex situation because if Duterte engaged in negotiation with China directly without going through other mechanisms, such as ASEAN, for example, he will still have to address the relationship with the U.S., which will get, no doubt, very complicated because of the defense agreement, the enhanced defense cooperation agreement, which had just been signed and entered through the Constitution of the Philippines with the United States for 10 years. And this agreement specifies that the U.S. has the right to have military forces and contractors on the Filipino soil. So on the one hand, Duterte will need to negotiate with China in trying to address this issue. But on the other hand, he also needs to be very careful which way he is going to go and how with regard to the United States. In fact, it appears that the U.S. are concerned about this because President Obama appointed Sang Kim as the new ambassador, U.S. ambassador to the Philippines. And Sam Kim has a long history in working in communist regimes, like he was a representative, a special representative for North Korea policy and deputy assistant secretary for Korea and Japan. So he has a tremendous experience in looking at movements that are not necessarily what the U.S. would like to see. So that suggests that the U.S. are concerned about the way Duterte will go. It's a complex environment.
In terms of the international community, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says that this case provides a test for the future relations of Asia-Pacific and China and how China can lead. You think that China has said that it will not acknowledge the decision. You think they would change their stand on this, pursue it in a different manner, in a more diplomatic manner?
I doubt that they will change their stance on it. They are too engaged, and they would know that see it as a defeat, and that this is highly unlikely to happen. So the only way forward for them is to negotiate. Whether they will be able and willing to do it, that's a different story. But they have to come to the negotiating table.
So no doubt it'll be a very tense next few days?
Indeed, and probably next few weeks. And I think we need to prepare ourselves for a lot of rhetoric, which is understandable. And as long as it remains as rhetoric, then there's no problem. My concern will be if a greater military presence is witnessed in the South China Sea, with both from a number of countries, Australia would be involved, of course, patrolling this area, and the possibility of an accident, because no doubt that there will be confrontation, not so much conflict, but confrontation. And an accident could happen very, very easily. There is, at the moment, a framework that has been set by the U.S. and China with regard to maritime transparency, so that they know exactly where the boats are to prevent any possible accident. But it can also be an air incident, which will be very, very difficult to address. So there will be tension, and we must be aware, even though a conflict is not likely to happen, there could be an accident that could degenerate into a more serious situation.
Thank you very much for your time, Associate Professor Jonathan from the University of Sydney.
You're very welcome.